Over the last few months, I've chatted with a number of different people who represent voluntary groups, charities, social enterprises. Some of those organisations or operations have actually won the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service. You may also remember that I was talking with Robert Voss, the Lord Lieutenant of the County of Hertfordshire, some months ago, and we mentioned then the award scheme. And I'm delighted that Penny Williams, who is responsible for the management of the award scheme, is that the way to put it, as a Deputy Lord Lieutenant?
Yes, I run the scheme for Robert, but Robert has the final say-so in which organisations go forward, and I have a team of deputy lieutenants. Each of them pretty well responds to a different borough and links up with the mayors and the people in those boroughs to try and find organisations which would be appropriate to be put forward.
So is this a process where you and that you described the team of deputy lieutenants going out looking, or is it people contact you saying, I want one of those?
It's more us going out and looking and trying to either persuade people that they should be put forward and suggesting they then find people, or otherwise, the other deputy lieutenants and I all go out and interview each new mayor each year and try and persuade them at the end of their year to reflect on all the wonderful groups they've seen, whether there is one in particular they feel should be put forward, and we ask them to put them forward.
Okay. Now, let's go back to square one, as it were, the Queen's Award. Obviously, it originates with the Queen. Was it at the time of her Jubilee that she created this scheme?
Yes, it was created in 2002, the year of her Jubilee, and she decided that individuals who did wonderful work in the community were being honoured, but the many voluntary organisations and charities that worked in the communities in England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland, they should also be celebrated. So that's why the Queen's Award for Voluntary Service was created.
So it's been running for about 15 years now, is that right?
I think it's 2003 was the first awards. Okay. Yes.
And are we talking nationwide, hundreds and hundreds of organisations or voluntary organisations, obviously?
Well, last year I think it was over 500 to 600 organisations were put forward, and 250 nationwide actually received the Queen's Award.
And this is done through the Lord Lieutenant in each county. That's the because that person stands as the representative of the Queen.
Yes.
And therefore it is nominated through your internal process. He or she gets the last word, as it were, consultation.
We get the information at the beginning of October. I then allocate the different organisations to various members of my team. We then really spend the whole of the autumn looking at them, talking to the organisations, talking to the people who have nominated, and the two referees as well. Also, we will look at other organisations that are similar and try and assess whether they're particularly exceptional in what they do, both locally, regionally and nationally. For example, Heartswatch, which got it this year, I talked to the national organisation, and Neem in the Police and Crime Commissioner's office, she did a survey for me of a lot of different areas to find out whether they were doing something exceptional compared to neighbourhood watch schemes in other county areas.
So you would look at them within the context of what they're doing. You're not trying to compare one type of voluntary organisation with another type and say, is this more useful to society? It's about how they're perceived in what they're doing.
Yes, it's within the context of what they do, perceiving whether what they do is exceptional compared to other organisations within the county or regionally or nationally.
Okay, so let's talk about the sort of organisations which have been granted this award. And I'm conscious that of those that I've interviewed, two, and they both raised this because they were both delighted to have got it. It was the Crescent, which of course is the HIV/AIDS Advice Centre, and the other was Rennie Grove. Are those the sorts of ones that you would expect? And if so, why do you think they got it?
Rennie Grove got it, that was last year, because of the amount of work that the volunteers do, and what the volunteers consider should happen is taken into account. And obviously the board, the trustees, also was very operational as well. Some organisations, it might be one person who runs it who's inspirational, maybe chooses the board of trustees, but is really the person who steers it. Whereas we're looking at organisations where the trustees really steer the organisation, where the volunteers have a voice as well, and where often it has been actually started up by a volunteer. It's come from volunteer need.
You mentioned just now that the individuals who perform well in society, as it were, can be awarded an MBE, OBE, CBE, whatever. In a sense, is this a group equivalent of what those awards mean?
Yes, it is. It is considered considered the equivalent of a national individual honour. It is the highest award given to local volunteer groups across the UK to recognise outstanding work done in their communities. Any group doing voluntary work that provides a social, economic or environmental service to the local community can be nominated. So it's quite wide. Now, it now includes media, so mass communication, television, radio, newspapers, community magazines, social media, journalism, all those sorts of things, and also digital, such as websites, technology-based social media, IT training. So it's widened. With current technological developments, they've had to widen because a lot of social and community groups are now going into that.
If an organisation is granted this award, what do they actually get for it, apart from the PR and the prestige?
They're required to organise a ceremony where the Lord Lieutenant or one of his representatives comes along. So in fact, I'm doing the Hearts Watch one this year. And they get a certificate and they get this glass domed crystal. When I went to Wear in Bloom, which got it last year, they had already got it emblazoned on all their T-shirts. You have the little strap line you can put on everything. And in fact, St Albans Musical Museum have already got it on their website. So yes, it's something you can put on everything.
Now, you're working across the whole of Hertfordshire, so although you're actually a St Albans resident and you know St Albans well, you have got to know the other districts within the county.
Yes, and also because of my various voluntary roles I've had in the county and working roles, I do know a lot of the county anyway.
What were those roles?
Oh, I'm a trustee of the Hertfordshire Domestic Abuse Helpline. I'm a trustee of St Albans and Hartsmere Domestic Abuse Forum. I'm chairman of a small housing charity in St Albans called Vincent's. I do some other things as well, and I can't think. I'm also vice chairman of Amnesty, and there are one or two other things I'm involved with.
Yes, and you were also a magistrate, I think.
Yes, and also I've been a trustee of Hertfordshire Community Foundation for, it will be 9 years in September.
Anything like the Lord Lieutenancy can, I hope he'll forgive me if he says this, it can always be a sort of self-fulfilling thing. It's people you know.
The steer from the palace is that they want the lieutenancies to be much more diverse and represent their local communities. And obviously, the more that Robert Voss's Lord Lieutenant and the Deputy Lieutenants go out and actually go into the communities, the more they're going to be aware of key people in the communities who might well be possible candidates to be Deputy Lieutenants.
Yes. And so that you're all spread across the district, and you have a particular responsibility for the Queen's Award, which we will come back to in a moment. Do other deputies have particular responsibility for other areas of the work?
Robert has actually created a number of special interest groups within the lieutenancy. So there's one on media, there's one on business, there's one on health, there's one on the individual honours, there's one on youth. There are a number of other special interest groups all feeding in information, and also we have area groups as well. And certainly, I mean, Lady Verulam, when she was Lord Lieutenant, she really started the ball rolling in creating a more diverse lieutenancy.
And that includes a number of representatives of different faith groups, which is quite interesting because, of course, as society changes, you need to reflect those changes. Now, let's go back to the process of the Queen's Award again. So there you are. You've got this structure internally within the lieutenancy of how it can be made to operate, but you're still reliant upon other people, and not just the mayors, but other people within the community.
Anybody can nominate an organisation as long as they're not a volunteer at that organisation or a paid employee. So, for example, clients can nominate or be, if you like, the referees as well. For the Crescent, which you referred to, what happened was that the nominator, can't remember who that was now, but the two people who then supported that as referees were both clients of the Crescent, and they could remain anonymous. Obviously, they had to remain anonymous. As a nominator, they need to know your name, but if it's appropriate, you can remain anonymous as a supporting referee.
And so then your team or somebody within your team would then go and look at the Crescent in detail and say what it does and interview various people and perhaps talk with other clients with the same confidentiality as before. And that would build up a picture, and then that would be one of the ones that was submitted to the process.
In fact, I actually was one of the two assessors for the Crescent, and we not only talked to the chairman and the people there. I went to an open day there when we talked to lots of people there. We also talked to the medical team that works with the Crescent to see how the Crescent were viewed by them as well.
other groups might not be of a similar nature. Do the unknown ones get a chance to come in, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And one I would put forward as an example is the St Albans Musical Museum, which got it this year.
Which we used to know as the St Albans Organ Museum,
is that
right?
It used to be known as the Organ Museum.
Yes.
And to my shame, I never visited it until I actually had to assess it and realise what a wonderful organisation it was. Started by a man who was a local builder, who was an enthusiast for all these wonderful organs and musical devices. Before he died, he wanted to ensure that all these musical machines would actually survive and created a trust. And it was actually in his builder's yard where it's survived for 40 years now. And the people there are wonderful. They're so enthusiastic, but haven't really broadcast themselves. They've now got a PR person there. And I hope that the Queen's Award will increase their visibility. It wasn't anybody who was particularly involved with them who actually put it forward. I looked up on the internet, looked at all the other organ museums in the country. It was the only one that was a charity. They were either otherwise private or they were business enterprises. So this really stood out. And then I talked to a number of other people who were involved nationally in organ museums as well to get an understanding. So that's the sort of thing you do. And it can be such a wide variety of different organisations we're looking at. When I went, they had a group of people who had Alzheimer's. So they're looking at groups that actually would have benefit from enjoyment of actually going. They're not just people who might just be interested. And there are lots of family groups there. There are about 80 to 100 people there. Mm-hmm. And it was a real buzz. And then they have concerts, I think, on a Saturday night. And then they run other events as well there.
And it's in St Albans?
Just next to Camp School. It's down a little roadway, but pathway, you wouldn't really notice it.
I looked up, as I always do, I do a little bit of research, and I'm afraid Wikipedia is a very great source of research. Hence, I discovered that it was the Queen's Golden Jubilee Award for voluntary service by groups in the community. That's the full name. Give us a bit more about the process and about how it works.
All the lieutenancies are told at the beginning of October what organisations have been put forward. They have to have been put forward by the end of the second Friday in September. That is the final date for organisations to be assessed in the following year. There are only two people who run the office nationally in the Department of Culture, Media and Sport. So obviously they would prefer organisations to be put forward earlier. So there's a steady stream of organisations that they're checking for the criteria before they send them out on October the 1st. So we get them October the 1st. I then allocate the different organisations to members of my team to go and investigate. We get together in December, look at everything that we have looked at and have drafted the forms we need to fill in and the citation, which is, if you like, the summary of what we've considered about them. I organise a meeting with Robert Voss, Lord Lieutenant, by the end of the second week of January. And he then will decide which ones he will recommend, whether he wants to fine-tune any of our writing. Then the assistant clerk to the lieutenancy, Siobhan Curran, has 2 weeks to get them all finally into the Department of Culture, Media and Sport by the end of January. And then from the end of January through till about mid-April is when there are all sorts of subcommittees that look at the different aspects of the different nominations. And we will know by about mid-April which ones have actually been awarded the Queen's Award for voluntary service. They are told they can't say anything till 2nd of June, which must be quite difficult. And then the ones who don't get it, they're let know slightly later. And then there might be other organisations which the National Committee decide they want some more information on. They're known as the pooled awards. So there'll be specific questions we need to go back and answer. And there have been two this year. I won't say what they are, but there are two organisations this year we've got to do more work on.
And that would be for perhaps the next year?
For the
year
following
or
year,
the
okay. Yes, yes.
So even if you don't win a prize, all is not lost. But logically, there must be a number that, you're filtering down from a larger number to a smaller number and then it gets filtered down again. So there are quite a few that don't get the award,
yes.
Obviously.
There were two this year that didn't get it.
Well, locally?
Yes, locally. We had five that got it,
okay.
Two where they wanted more information, so they'll go into next year's pot, and two that didn't get it.
Right.
But what is rather nice is that Frances Button, when she was chairman of the County Council, initiated a reception in March for all the organisations which were nominated for a Queen's Award, which is lovely, because otherwise the ones that don't get it don't get anything, they just get us visiting and that's it, and then a letter saying wonderful work, but not quite. And Councillor Richard Thake, who has been chairman chairman, will be chairman for the next 2 years, he has carried on that reception. And certainly every time we've done it, there's been a real pleasure from all the organisation that there's been a county recognition as well.
Even though at that stage, they don't know.
They don't know. And we don't know.
No.
If I can just say that, including this year, we will have had 36 awards. Over the 15 years since it started.
So it sounds like that. Is that going up each year? Is there a pattern?
It is going up. What happened when I took over, I had a meeting with Helen Nellis, who is the Lord Lieutenant for Bedfordshire, and Judith, who runs the scheme for the Lieutenancy there, because I was aware we weren't doing particularly well. And that gave us a whole load of clues as to how to move forward to try and encourage more organisations to be put forward.
And do you think it was just that perhaps not enough people, groups knew of the scheme?
I don't think enough groups did know, or people who could nominate knew enough. General public didn't know. So what we aim every time now somebody is awarded a Queen's Award is that when they do their celebration, that actually that gets into the local paper as well, because we really want it into the local news organisations to celebrate.
That's right. And of course on local radio.
So the organisations that got this year, I have mentioned them some already. There was Hearts Watch.
That's Neighbourhood Watch.
That's Neighbourhood Watch. That's the County Neighbourhood Watch. Mediation Hearts, which does a lot of mediation services, goes into schools, goes into all sorts of places, and it's been very creative. Samaritans of South West Hearts, which also has a link with the Mount Prison and trains prisoners as well to act as listeners. So that's really important. There's the St Albans Musical Museum we've talked about. And there's also the Waterways Experience, which has two, if not three, canal boats and is for people with disabilities to be able to go onto the water.
Yes. And those are the ones that went forward this year?
There were more that went forward.
Oh, those are the winning the ones.
Those are the ones who got it. Two further ones didn't get it, and they're two they want more information on.
Well, that's fantastic. So the key message is, if you know an organisation that you think deserves this award, you should start to nominate it fairly quickly this year, because you've only got to the end of September, as it were, or is it less than the end of September?
And if I can say just some basic criteria, it has to be made up of two or more people. It must have been operating for a minimum of 3 years, not necessarily as a charity. It can be any voluntary group or company incorporated charity. So it's those sort of three strands. More than half the people who work for the group must be volunteers. More than half the group's volunteers must have residence in the UK. And it must have all, obviously, the appropriate insurances and have all the safeguarding and GDPR, whatever we like to call it.
Data regulations, which is driving us all mad. Absolutely.
So those are the basic criteria. Yeah,
certain policies must be in place, must be following certain procedures. Mm. The average charity knows all about this now. Great, Penny. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Rob. Thank you. And I look forward to you continuing to publicise the Queen's Award Voluntary Service.
Well, thanks to Penny Williams for that information about the Queen's Award. If you want to find out more about this award and the system and how you can nominate a group or be involved in some other way, their website where it has all the information is qavs.direct.gov.uk. Of course, you can also have a look at the Lord Lieutenant's own website, because the information can be traced through that as well. And that website is lord-lieutenant-hearts.org.uk. And of course, I interviewed the Lord Lieutenant himself some months ago.